The recordings have started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the GNSO Bylaws Implementation Drafting Team call held on Thursday, the 29th of September, 2016. On the call today, we have Almer Elsdar, David Maher, Ed Morris, Steve Del Bianco, Steve Metellet, Farsi Bhatti, Darcy Southwell, and Wolf Ulrich Nubbin. I have no listed apologies for today's meeting. From staff, we have Julie Hedlund, Marika Koning, Barry Cobb, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. With this, I'll turn it back over to Steve Del Bianco. Please begin.
Hey, hi, everyone. I think we're only missing Matthew Shears as the ninth member of the drafting team. And I would just ask staff to send a quick note to Matthew, since this is a call that's an important one, just to be sure he knows about the new time and the new link. Thank you for doing that. We were just discussing statements of interest, and I believe staff has put the link. It's on the Adobe Connect room right now. And if staff is aware of any of the nine members who need to update a statement of interest, we could do so. And I think that'll be important because we hope in the next few days to issue our report, and I'd hate for us to be lacking a statement of interest. So Terry, if you could just quickly check that and see if any of the nine members here are missing one. And I realize we've done some substitutions. Wolf Ulrich, for instance, is substituting for Tony Harris, but Wolf Ulrich undoubtedly has an SOI for GNSO. And if any of the others of us are missing one, let us know in the chat and we'll update it.
Certainly. And yes, a couple are missing them, and I'll put that in, Steve.
Just let us all know. Thank you. We are going to try to get Matthew Shears on the line, but I wanted to thank everybody for responding so quickly and thoroughly to the draft that I circulated after our last call. I was really gratified by the attention that's paid to how we tell our story, but I have to say, you all focused on how we got here when we were really supposed to focus on where we're going, which was the last page, right? The table that indicates that on the assumption that council does so with a majority of each house, what would be the appropriate thresholds for the three decisions? That is, in fact, what we have to decide on. And telling the story of how we got here in a minority report for those that disagree, that's going to be good, right? But it's not our main job. So in the agenda, number three was to discuss the revised draft report. But you folks have been so attentive to review, edit, and review each other's edits that I don't believe we need to spend much time on that. I'd like to defer that and go directly to the most important item. It's item four on the agenda, which is going to the voting thresholds and trying to discover whether we can, in the next 85 minutes, come up with a recommendation, whether it's a just a majority or a consensus with a minority report. As your chair, I think it's as your co-chair, Amar and I have our jobs today is to get us to a report to council, because tomorrow is September 30th. That is the date by which we were asked to prepare implementation recommendations. Let me stop there and see if Amar, as co-chair, has anything you want to add before we dive into item four on the agenda.
Thanks, Steve. This is Amar. I can't take any credit for the chairing of this group. You've really done it all on your own, and I'd only offered to help if you needed the help. You've done a fantastic job. So I will defer to your chairmanship on this issue. But again, I just would echo what you said. We do need to get our recommendations straight on this call, figure out what we can agree on, and whatever we can't agree on, to figure out what level of support for each of the recommendations we do have. So thank you for that, Steve.
Thank you, Amar. All right, everyone, let's please advance to page 7 on the draft. You each have control on the Adobe. This is the same document that was circulated. In fact, page 7, the table that we need to pay attention to, hasn't changed at all since I circulated it last weekend, because most of you focused on, like I said, the story as opposed to the ending. Go ahead. Please, go ahead.
I just want to say I'm on a phone, so but thanks.
Hey, Matthew, I'm so glad you could join. Matthew, I do hope if you have the email, you'll be able to open up the document, follow along. We're on the last page of the document I circulated last weekend, page 7 of the document that was circulated today.
Okay, thank you.
So I don't even know. I'm a two-dimensional guy, so I put a table together there, but I don't even know if that table is that helpful to all of you, and perhaps that's why people didn't pay attention to it. So underneath the table on page 7 on the screen in front of you, you can see that I just repeated what are the three decisional categories, nominations, and then two kinds of decisions, and to see whether we can come up with a recommendation. The usefulness of the table was to reflect how those three decisions, the columns, how do they array against the rows, which indicate ways in which the majority of each house is implemented, with an additional line of a 60% majority, which I believe Ed Morris had suggested that for nominations. Because on the last call, I realized that some don't even want to have council vote on this, but the majority of this group did want to have council vote and did not want to have council vote as independent councilors, but wanted to retain the majority of each house rule. That is why we are, at this point, deciding what should the majority level be. Simple majority, 60%, two-thirds, supermajority rule, and those are the rows. And how do we array those against the three decisional categories? If we're successful in this regard, we would then ask staff, and I'm saying that if in a 90-minute call, we could hash this out, decide what our report would look like. We would be asking staff's help to take the three decisional methods, nominations, decision one, and decision two, and array them against the 100 instances in the new bylaws where GNSO would be have the opportunity to weigh in. And it's our hope that you would be able to map all 101 of those instances against one of these three, and we would therefore have a functional recommendation we could put before council. Okay, so I'll stop there. I see a queue already, so Amr.
Thanks, Steve. This is Amr again. I just wanted to make a clarification that I had actually meant to include in the email that I sent earlier today, but apologies, I forgot. Because I see my name listed as under the initiation of inspection rights as preferring the same thresholds as required to initiate PDPs. What I thought we were talking about last week was the same threshold to request issues reports, and that's what I wanted to support, which is an even lower threshold than initiating a PDP. The threshold for approving a request for an issues report is a quarter of each house or a simple majority of one house. So that's slightly lower than initiating a PDP. And the reason why I would choose this is generally, and I agree with Ed here, that I think we should have as low a threshold as possible on initiating those inspection rights. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. So you're in the column where I had Amr prefers this. I've reflected my notes to say that you would prefer a quarter of each house or a majority of one house. And thank you for
that.
Got it. And thank you for directing us specifically to the table that's here. And what I'd like to do is to walk through this table. We'll do nominations first and see how close we can come to consensus that if council, using a split house threshold, is going to make these decisions, what should the threshold be? And I know that there's a caveat associated with comments that we come from CSG members that they didn't support having majorities of each house make these decisions. But it would be useful to determine if the drafting team members that feel that way have strong feelings about what the thresholds could be if that were to be the case. And Ed Morris, so when you say your position is the same as Amr, you're speaking of the decisions made on the GNSO to request the document inspection. Is that correct? I'm waiting for – I know Ed's actually not well, so I don't want to ask him to speak when he doesn't need to. So that would mean Amr, Ed, and David Maher so far are all saying that in the third column, that decisions made by GNSO on its own to request document inspection, we have at least three of you, David, Amr, and Ed. saying that it ought to be a quarter of each house or a simple majority of any one house. Okay, thank you. So let's get back to the, since you're all focusing on that, why don't we stay in that column, stay in the right-hand column. So with respect to the decisions that a GNSO can make on its own, like requesting a document inspection, and it was our impression that there's only two sections of the new bylaws, 227A and E, where the GNSO itself could initiate something like a document inspection request. And that is not decisional, because it doesn't resolve a matter. It really kicks something off, kicks off the request for documents. When the request comes back, the request would be disclosed to the entire community, and it would then trigger debates or decisions that would have different thresholds. So only one, I had written on here that most of the drafting team thought that a simple majority was appropriate. And that was my take on the last call. So at this point, I have three of the nine of us suggesting that we ought to do the quarter of each house or a simple majority of one. And again, we're talking about 227A and E. So let's take a cue on that and see where we decide. Ed, you're first.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, I that's the same threshold that's required to request an initial report, I believe. I do support that, but I'd even go further. We're trying to get this right down to as low a level as we can. At least that would be my goal. Although the inspection right shouldn't be used on an everyday basis, I am somewhat concerned at what I'm seeing going on in the Workstream 2 group of transparency. They don't seem to be focusing, as I know, Steve, you and I had encouraged in Helsinki, on the four specific rights in the Workstream 1 group. So I don't know how long it's going to be where this is going to be our principal means of obtaining documentation from ICANN. So in addition to the issue report, I'm perfectly fine if we were to state that any constituency or stakeholder group as well would have the right to request a document through counsel.
Thank you, Ed. I think I did have that. You would allow any SG or C to request documents. And Ed, earlier I recorded, though, that you agreed with Amr and David that you would also support a different bar, which is a quarter of each or a simple majority of one.
Yeah, when I said 2 weeks ago, quarter and half were what were in the request. I think we screwed up in transposing it at some point. But I think Armour, myself, and David have always been in support of the quarter and half. And as I said, I'm willing to go further if there's the desire in other people to go further as well, down to the SGC level.
Okay. So we're currently now debating between any SG or C could make a request, and it's interesting that this doesn't even involve counsel. That would be an SG or C. Counsel doesn't even have to know or approve it. Any SG or C could make a request for documents, and it wouldn't take an act of counsel at all. And all of a sudden in the chat, I'm seeing Steve Metallitz and Amr now agreeing with Ed's lower threshold. But let me take a cue on that. Ed Morris, are you finished, or is it an old hand?
Steve, I think procedurally it would have to be requested because this is a right that goes to the SO. So I think procedurally it would have to be requested by the SG or C through counsel. In other words, Steve Metallitz, or actually Greg, I guess, is the chair of the IPC. Greg would just have to notify James in the current situation, we want this document, and then we could take it off from there. There would not be a council vote, but procedurally we would actually have to act through the SO in terms of the bylaws. But yeah, I have no trouble giving the right to the SG and C because I think, if they want the documents rather than having to act to the counselors, I'd rather save time for the counselors given the longevity of our meetings to date and just have the request go directly to James, presumably to ICANN.
In the new bylaws, the 227 that we're referencing, it's on page 118, and you just made the statement that it said the bylaws direct this one to counsel. So let's just double-check that. Does 22.7 direct it to counsel, or does it direct it to GNSO, ACs and SOs? Let's just resolve that before we move on, please.
Yeah, I may be incorrect.
22.7.
What I meant to say is that it goes to the SO, and since we're going to be, Lord knows. I mean, you had mentioned that we would want the the constituency SG to be able to do a direct request to ICANN. I'm not sure that's
set up. No, they can't. You're right. It has to come from a decisional participant. And decisional participants are currently the four ACs and SOs who joined the empowered community. And it would seem to be that we would have to then instruct the decisional participant. And to the extent that instructing the decisional participant comes through counsel, then counsel is right, and through that sort of convoluted path, any AC and SO, any SG or C could request the counsel chair to entertain a motion to instruct our EC rep to do a document inspection request. Okay, so it would be a new rule in that the counsel chair would be obliged to pass that on to our decisional representative, and it would not require a vote of counsel, is what I guess I'm getting at. Counsel doesn't have to vote on that. It might come through counsel's chair if that's the conduit to our EC rep, but it would not require a vote of counsel. Would you agree with that, Ed?
Yes, Steve, that's perfect. I would also keep in the option of the one quarter, one half as well if counsel wished to request documents by itself. So there'll be two routes, at least in my view. I'd like to have two routes to request documents, one based upon SGCs through the decisional participant, and the other one counsel as well being able to do it on its own, if so chooses.
Okay. Thank you. Steve Metallis.
Yes, thank you. I would support the first of those options and not the second one. I don't think we need to get too far into the weeds on who would have to forward it to who, but I support the concept of SGs and constituency, one SG or one constituency being able to start this process and get the decisional participant to whoever carries that forward to make that request.
Thank you, Steve. So saying you'd prefer the first of them, if Ed has modified his proposal that it could be either what you just said, any SG or C.
I don't have any authority to support anything that involves voting by House within the council in this context, so I can't support that. I can support what was down there as after the comma in the table in Ed's,
yeah,
and really what Ed said. I would support what Ed said about how that could be, how an inspection request could be made.
All right, so I see some questions coming up in the chat. So, Marika, you asked, where does that leave nominating committee reps? Well, nominating committee reps are not an SG and they're not a C, so they would never have had any ability to do a document request through the GNSO decisional participant. On the other hand,
thank you very much.
If it was a majority, a quarter of each house or a simple majority of one house, the NomCom reps would be voting. So I don't believe there's any exclusion of the NCAs here, but if you talk about the GNSO as being composed of stakeholder groups and constituencies, the nominating committee reps are not one of those. I hope that's not what you're implying. And Mary Wong is asking, does this make the council a mere conduit? The answer is that if any SG or C is given the right to do a document request, this would be in the GNSO procedures, then council is only a conduit for that path, of course. Now, Ed and Amr have also said that in addition, council could do its request. And in that regard, council is not a conduit, but an originator, using the rule of a quarter of each house or simple majority of one. And in that respect, council is considering a resolution, it's voting on the resolution, and NomCom reps have a role. I don't think this is all that complex. Okay, not seeing a cue on that, so I would try to move to some closure here. Let's take it this way. How many of you would support saying that any SG or C in GNSO could exercise a document request under 227A and E with the understanding that the council chair would relay that to our decisional rep on the EC, our decisional representative? And so I'll just look for a yes or no, or why don't we use the voting, but I realize that I think Matthew Shears. Oh, you are online. Great. So just use the voting on that. And Steve, this is the first half of it, so I presume you would be a yes on this, but maybe not on the other. Great. Thank you. And for the BC, I could indicate yes. Okay, I still don't see a vote from Darcy. Thank you, Darcy. And Matthew Shears, you still haven't clicked anything yet. Would you let us know what your preference is? You? Okay, fantastic. So we have unanimity, at least on the first half of this, which is the ability for any SGRC to do a document request under 227A and E. Thank you, everyone. Let's clear the agrees. And in addition to that, what is our level of support for suggesting that the same threshold that's used to do an issues report, and I'm going to ask counsel to verify this, is this, I want to be able to say it precisely, that an issues report is a quarter of each house or the simple majority of one. Would staff please? So, Marika, look, you just tried to clarify something that when you come up with the GNSO Council that has nominating committee of representatives, that's true. But, Marika, they are not a constituency or stakeholder group. Or are you contending that they are a constituency or stakeholder group? And feel free to speak up.
Sorry, this is Marika. You can probably speak faster than I type. No, it was just in relation to your comment that NCAs are not part of the GNSO, but if you look at the way the GNSO is described, I think you could argue that they are part of the GNSO, but not as a stakeholder group, as constituency, as you rightly said.
But to be clear, they're not part of the GNSO. They're part of GNSO Council. And that's it. They're part of Council.
No, but the description in the bylaws is the GNSO shall consist of, so at least my non-legal reading of that is that the GNSO as a whole consists of all those elements, which includes the council, which includes in its organization, the NCAs. But again, maybe it's just semantics, but that's how it's reflected in the bylaws.
Right. I quoted it directly from the bylaws, and it's on page 2 of our document. And GNSO is constituencies, 4 stakeholder groups, 2 houses within the council, and a GNSO council. And only after you read about council do you determine that nominating committee reps have an equal footing role on council. But the bylaws per se set up council, and what you're suggesting is that NCA is part of council. No, nobody disputes that at all. We simply said that if you endowed any stakeholder group or constituency in the GNSO with the ability to request documents that would not confer that capability to the nominating committee reps. And I don't believe there's any confusion about that. All right, so now we're going to ask the second level question, which is in addition to any stakeholder group or constituency, how many of you support, and we're happy to take a cue if it's too early to vote. Let's take a cue on it first. How many of you want to discuss supporting or opposing the idea of using the threshold we use to initiate a PDP, or is it an issues report? I'm looking for clarification on that. The quarter of each house or simple majority of one. Thank you, Amr. It's the issues report example. And I know that's a policy matter, so it's not relevant here. I'm just trying to make it a little bit more familiar to everyone, that it's the issues report threshold. It's a quarter of each house or a simple majority of one house, with the understanding that, of course, the nominating committee reps vote within that structure. And it is the lowest existing threshold that the council uses, according to Amr. We'll take a cue on that. Ed Morris?
Yes, Steve. I can confirm the issue report. Yeah, in terms of allowing council to request by themselves, it solves a few problems. In addition to the SGCs. One is the NCA problem, because if the NCAs are actually going to be participating in some way and we are discussing matters of the empowered community, it would be good if they had an avenue to ask counsel to request of the decisional participant that we actually can get the documents they need to deliberate and debate the issue before us. Secondly, occasionally there are matters that come up before counsel fairly quickly that we haven't had a chance to talk to our stakeholder groups. And I can see where this might happen on the so-called superpowers we're going to be getting. We could be in a scandal, for example, and we may need or want documentation. We may need or desire to act quickly. I think by investing in counsel as well as the SGs and Cs, we allow ourselves to have a bit more of a rapid response, which I think would be desirable. Thanks.
Thank you, Ed. Let's see, are there any other comments from folks on the call before we do a poll on this additional power? David Maher is typing. Okay, so I think we're time. Steve Metallis, please, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to support this because my constituency does not think council should exercise these new powers, and certainly not through a house-bound voting structure. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. You've been really clear about that, and I appreciate that. All right, so we would be looking for yeses or noes on allowing council by a quarter of each house or majority of one to fashion a document request. So I need yeses or noes. And Steve, if you wish, you could be an abstain or a no, whatever you prefer.
I'll abstain.
Okay. Okay, so I have 7-0 and 2 abstains to also allow counsel. Wolf Ulrich, your hand is up. No, sorry.
Yes, thanks. Wolf Ulrich speaking. Well, I have the same not issue that, but you know, we have ongoing discussion in the constituency, not finalized, with regard to the representation on the SC, and therefore also abstain in this regard. Thank you.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. Appreciate the explanation for the abstention. I think in Steve's case, it was that he had no authorization to support a council voting by house. In your case, you just hadn't discussed it yet, if I have that right. Okay, great. All right, everyone, why don't we can clear those agrees, and I appreciate that. We can now move to the column on decisions made. Let's go for the center column. And this would presumably be the highest threshold we'd want to undertake. And that is this notion of decisions made by GNSO for initiating or responding to empowered community petitions and to instruct the GNSO EC rep and initiate investigations, which was under 22.8. So of the instances in the new bylaws where the GNSO is a decisional participant, this would be where most of them will fall. And on our last call, I got the sense of the room, without voting or anything like that, that most of the drafting team members preferred the rule called a GNSO supermajority. And just to clarify, that is 2/3 of each house, or it's 3/4 of one house and a majority of the other. So this is called, in bylaws, a GNSO supermajority. It was designed for GNSO's primary purpose of policy development, and I believe it's what we use for approval of consensus policies that are advanced to the board. So let's take a cue on whether that's the appropriate, that very high threshold, is that appropriate for what could amount to 70 or 80 different decisions that GNSO can make as part of the empowered community? Remember that there's an escalation process where a petition is initiated, the petition has to advance to the next stage of having a meeting convening. And then there's another opportunity to make a decision on whether to exercise the community power, whether it's to block the bylaws, to initiate a community IRP, et cetera. So why don't we take a cue on that? The candidate decision method is GNSO supermajority, and we're in the middle column of our table. Julie Hedman is just asking Wolf Ulrich to explain your abstention, and it's fine to do that. And Steve Metallis, if you wish, you can type yours so staff can get it down verbatim. All right, so if there are no hands up, should I take it as consensus? We will definitely do a poll because I know Steve and Wolf Ulrich may well abstain. Go ahead, Amr.
Thanks, Steve. This is Amr. I just wanted to ask, to be clear, are we talking about decisions made by the GNSO in regards to the EC's, the GNSO's responses to the empowered community, or are we talking about decisions to appoint the folks like the representative on the EC, the customer standing committee, et cetera? I'm just not clear which – we're talking the middle column right now or the first one?
Thanks, Amr. I just simply moved one column over to the middle on decisions, and then we'll do nominations after that if that's okay.
Okay, thanks.
Well, and while you have the floor, Amr, what are your thoughts about the appropriate threshold for these decisions?
Well, Steve, as I indicated last week, I'm still a bit unsure how to answer this question in particular. Until we sort of somehow resolve the role of the non-call appointee. Ideally, I think it would be desirable for the GNSO to have some form of consensus when these sorts of decisions are made. And to me, that would mean that it would be desirable to at least achieve a high level of consensus or a high threshold or meet a high threshold. But again, I'm also cognizant that this may lead to difficulties in making these decisions, especially when there's a divergence of views amongst the stakeholder groups and constituencies represented by their councillors. At this time, and I think we did go through this last week, I'm still not very clear on what my preference would be, and I think that somehow we do need to have more discussion on this. I appreciate that this is our last call, and we do need to make a decision, but at this point, I would abstain from give an abstention on behalf of myself and probably cite the reasons I just mentioned. Thank you.
Amr, the first reason you mentioned was something to do with nominating committee, but that reason doesn't have any bearing on what we have in front of us, since we are at the point in our recommendations where the nominating committee appointees, they vote on council just like they do on everything else, and they comprise the quarter majority, whatever it is, of each house. So the nominating committee reps are assumed to be part of the voting by house. So that's in there. And with respect to consensus, I agree with you. Nobody really knows what that means. It doesn't mean unanimity. But for GNSO, at least in the policy realm, that's been determined by a GNSO supermajority, because staff will correct me on this, but I do understand that when a GNSO supermajority is achieved, then that document achieved through that is called a consensus policy if it fits within the picket fence. At least we call it a consensus policy if it comes out of a supermajority. And I hope somebody could validate that for me. So, Amr, given that nominating committee, there is no question about nominating committee. They are baked into the council voting on a supermajority. Would that allow you to have more clarity and express a preference as to whether supermajority is appropriate for these decisions?
Hi, Steve. This is Amr again. Apologies. When we were discussing this last week, the issue of the non-com appointee was still not clear. And now we're working under the assumption that the council will be voting in its entirety, including the NCA. So yes, I would prefer a higher voting threshold, something like a supermajority. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Amr. I'm glad we were able to clear that up because then your voice will be heard on this one. Okay, we've got a nice cue developing. Steve Metallis, you're next.
Yes, thanks. I just had a question for, and you partly answered it, but I'm not sure. I mean, Amr's suggestion that this should require a consensus, I was just going to ask what that, whether that had been defined within the GNSO Council context. And I hear what you say, Steve, about, you know, if something comes out of a PDP and it's approved by a supermajority of the council, as defined here, then it can, if it's approved by the board, and if it's implemented, become a consensus policy. But there are a lot of other things in here that are by this that require a GNSO supermajority, like terminating a PDP, for example. That's something else that requires a supermajority. So I think this is, I mean, I'm seeing this in the chat also. So I'm not clear what, and I agree with Amr that it would be worth considering whether there's a consensus threshold here, but I'm just not quite sure what that means. But I'm questioning whether that necessarily means GNSO supermajority. So maybe somebody who is more familiar with how the council uses these terms can help clarify that situation.
Thank you, Steve. For the purpose of this discussion, the word consensus is not operationalized until somebody can devise how you could count votes in council by house to get there. Unless somebody can come up with an operational definition for this concept of consensus, we won't be able to consider it. It will be meaningless for us to send a report to council that says we considered but didn't pick supermajority. Instead, we said you should have a consensus. They would have no idea how to implement that, and our charter is to give an implementation plan. So unless somebody can suggest a definition for consensus, we're going to be voting on GNSO supermajority today. And Steve, if you wanted to come back in on that, and then we'll go to Ed.
Yeah, I do, because you're basically saying that the only way to achieve a consensus is by voting, which may be the case in the council, but it's certainly not the case in a working group, which I'm more familiar
Definitely
with.
Definitely not.
So it's a different definition that you're using. You're using consensus as a term that is necessarily linked to in-house voting. Thank you.
Got it, Steve. And Steve, I would anticipate that a minority report reflecting the view of that a consensus of GNSO constituencies and stakeholder groups could come up with a different definition there. But I would invite you that if you can come up with a way to operationalize it within the House structure of council votes, I would love to consider that on this call today as an alternative to supermajority. And given that you have somewhat limiting instructions from your IPC, you may not be as comfortable putting it out there and supporting it, but I'm asking you to be creative. If you have a way to operationalize the word consensus within the constraints of council, put it on the table, and we'd be glad to talk about it. Ed Morris?
Yeah, hi, Steve. If it's the will of the majority, I'm happy to support the supermajority threshold. Were I to be made the creator of all of GNSO, I would actually have a bit lower threshold for initiating. These superpowers are going to be exercised in conjunction with a lot of groups here in ICANN, many of which who I think we're going to have some trouble getting involved in acting on anything. So when I initially took a look at this, I said, yeah, of course, these are important things. We need to check the mob rule, so to speak, by having a supermajority threshold. But the more I thought of it, our powers are going to be so limited going forward because we have to work with the other groups. I would be happier with a lower threshold if there was support for that among others in the call. But as I said, I'm happy to go along with the supermajority if that gets us closer to a consensus decision. Thanks.
Ed, you seem to want to maybe divide the decisions so that those that initiate are different than the threshold for those that make a final decision. And that's certainly a valid suggestion and one which might call for different thresholds.
I think that's some of the folks here. That's actually not my position, although I consider it. I didn't really consider it, but thinking out loud, I don't think, does that make much sense? At least it doesn't to me. Or why should there be different thresholds for responding and initiating?
Okay.
I don't believe I support that. I think I'd like to keep one threshold for both actions, and I would go as low as majority. But again, just to get some semblance of consensus, I'm happy to support supermajority if that's the will of others.
Okay, but it's good to have you explain that, because if other members of this small team thought that supermajority were too high, this would be a great time to talk that out so that we could prepare and present alternatives on this call.
Yeah, I mean, the principal thought I have is that these powers are going to be extremely difficult for the community to execute. Now, if we were making the decision alone on rejecting a budget, and that was just a GNSO decision, then yeah, I do want to have a supermajority threshold. These are serious issues. But if, for example, there are three segments of ICANN, three members of the empowered community, decisional participants, come to us and say, GNSO, this budget is completely out of line, and we need to do something. We need to reject the budget. I'm not sure I would like to have a supermajority threshold there, so a minority of the GNSO could stop other decisional participants from going forward with enacting the powers. I think it might just be a little bit too high of a threshold. I would suggest that if others come to us and say, hey, GNSO, we agree we have to do something about the budget, and we have a majority in the GNSO that's willing to go along with it, I think that might be a bit better idea. Thanks.
And when you say majority of GNSO, I presume you're saying a simple majority of each house?
Exactly.
All right, got it. So thank you, Ed. So on the table, under the middle column under decision, Ed has suggested that a simple majority of each house might be preferable, in his case, to the supermajority. So that's in the center of the table versus the bottom row of the table. So let's push this discussion along. Wolf Ulrich, and then Marika. I see your hand up.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Well, also, I'm going to abstain here in this question because of the reason I have given. Well, with regards to voting, if there is any voting, so I am for clear figures in this respect, meaning we shouldn't talk about consensus here, so because consensus is defined in the working group paper, you know that, and it's outlined in terms of rough consensus and other terms of consensus, not giving a clear figure in voting figures. So I would be in favor for clear figures. Thanks.
Well, Ulrich, as chair and rapporteur, I'm not going to accept the word consensus in this table because it doesn't mean anything. It might mean something in some other alternative structure, but it isn't part of page 7. So
okay.
I'm good with that. We're not going to say the word consensus. You don't see it anywhere in this table. So the more operational question for you is, assuming that council makes the votes, do you believe that it should be a simple majority or a supermajority for the middle column? And I'll understand completely if you just have to abstain for reasons you gave earlier, but that's the decision in front of us. There is no consideration of the word consensus for the purposes of this table. But Wolf Ulrich, before we move on, I wanted to give you a chance to respond to that.
No, sorry, I saw that discussion before, though, also from the notes and in the chat, and I was thinking about that. So you are really clear in that, and I agree to what you say. Thanks.
I'm sorry. Do you agree that it should be a simple majority or a supermajority, or do you
no.
think you would go with abstain?
No, I'm sorry. I don't say anything about that because I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Very good. That's clear. Let's go to Marika and then back to Steve Metalis. Go ahead, Marika.
Thanks, Steve. This is Marika. I just want to confirm, indeed, that at a council level, there's no definition as such of consensus. But if you look at the contract that ICANN has with registries and registrars, it talks there in the context of consensus policies that a consensus of the genes so needs to be achieved, and that in practice translated to supermajority voting. So I hope that clarifies a bit where the supermajority voting in the council comes from, and indeed in the context of consensus policy that is expected to reflect the consensus of the GNSO. Similarly, in the GNSO working guidelines, the definition of consensus there is where most agree, but a small minority disagrees. And indeed, although there are no exact numbers associated with that, it's an iterative process that the chair manages. Of course, what is factored in there as well, that at the end of the day, those recommendations need to meet the thresholds that are set by the council or through the council voting mechanisms. So presumably that is also something that is factored in within the working group, also to, of course, avoid that one group puts 100 people on a working group and tries to force a decision. So there, a chair will also factor in the input received. How does that reflect or compare to the decision that ultimately needs to be achieved at the council level, which in the case of PDP working groups is of course also supermajority.
And Marika, if everyone would please scroll to page 2 of our draft document, I put verbatim from the ICANN bylaws, not the new bylaws, it's been there a long time, what a GNSO supermajority is. If you scroll to the bottom of page 2 in that document, it is exactly defined in section 11.3 as 2/3 of the council members of each house, it doesn't say both houses, it's each house, and 3/4 of the council members of one house and a majority of the council members of the other house. So the word GNSO supermajority that we're using here is not a new word. It has been around for at least 7 years. It refers to the way council votes by house, and that includes NOMCOM reps, and the numbers are explicit. I don't want to infer that that means consensus, and that's why we're not going to call it that. We're calling it a GNSO supermajority. And Amr, you've got me so confused in the chat because I quoted the bylaws verbatim, and now I'm confused as to what you've come up with. So I hope you're going to be able to clarify where you got what you typed into the chat. And while I wait for that, I have Ed Morris's hand up and Steve Vitalis, but I think Steve was in the queue after Ed spoke last time. So Steve Vitalis, please.
Yes. Well, first, just on Amr's point, I think he's quoting from Romanet 8 of the bylaws provision, which is approving a PDP recommendation without a GNSO supermajority. You can do it by an affirmative vote of a majority of each house and a representative of at least 3 of the 4 stakeholder groups. So I think that may be where he got that from. I just really wanted to make 2 comments. One is this issue that was raised about maybe not everything within this column should have the same voting threshold. I think, this has been something that's come up several times in our deliberations. These are kind of the what decisions rather than the who decisions, which are in the first column. And some of these may be very big things, like instructing on, should our rep vote to spill the board on the empowered community. And they may be very minor things. We might want to instruct our council, our GNSO EC rep about, the timing of something or the scheduling of something, or make sure that doesn't conflict, X doesn't conflict with Y on this calendar. There might be some relatively trivial things, and then there might be some extremely consequential things. So the idea that you would necessarily have the same threshold for both, I think, is sacrificing substance to form. Again, I think your who and what distinction was very useful to help frame our thinking, but it only takes us so far. And I have to agree with what Amr has been saying on the list that we've been given I'll rephrase it in my words. We've been given an extremely complex task, an extremely short amount of time to do it. For whatever reason, we didn't even get this group constituted until half of its lifespan was over. So I don't feel constrained to actually come forward with a concrete one-size-fits-all recommendation that every decision made in this superpower realm that has to do with what rather than who should have the same methodology for reaching a decision. And the final point I would make is just, you know, again, to emphasize that when this group is saying, and I think you've articulated it very well, Steve, that in exercising these superpowers, the concept of consensus, as it applies in the working groups, is irrelevant. We're just voting here. We're going to make these decisions just by voting. And that's quite different than what consensus policy development means in other parts of ICANN. Thank you.
Steve Mattel, thanks for that. I think that was very well said, and it's something that Ed also hinted at earlier. So what I'm thinking is, let's do our best to define what we think the decisional threshold should be, simple majority or GNSO supermajority. But we could, in our report, indicate that we'd like more time to take that rule and go down each and every one of the decisions. And that's the staff table that we talked about earlier, where staff would apply the decisional rule to the table. And if we had another call, it's possible that we could come up with two or potentially more levels of decision-making thresholds for all the times that the EC has to respond or initiate. So I think we should all agree that we'll note that in our recommendation, so that there's an understanding that if we'd had more time, we probably could have applied it more carefully. And while we did start late, and I will also, maybe I should take the blame for this, we did spend a lot of time on who makes the decisions, council or GNSO, and looked at alternative voting thresholds. Maybe I don't apologize for that after all, because it's the kind of thinking that should have gone into the GNSO review, but didn't, because it's often seen as a taboo topic. And you know what? We've all survived it. I think we're all still friends. We talked it out. We didn't all see eye to eye, but it's definitely constructive to ask questions like, who speaks for the GNSO? And I'm glad we did that and we documented it carefully. But at this point, we're saying, will there be sufficient support on this drafting team to say that for that whole basket of empowered community decisions, can this group agree that the threshold should be simple majority or supermajority, with the caveat that after we come up with that rule, we'd like to examine whether a different threshold is appropriate for certain decisions, and then we would do that if we had an extra, I don't know, two weeks or two calls. And that might be acceptable to council. I don't see any hands up. Ed Morris, we do go till we have another hour, I believe. Ed, you said not much time, and that's what you were speaking. Oh, you were speaking of calendar deadline. Yeah, okay. So do we have any more discussion on simple majority versus supermajority? Because I've only heard, I think Ed has said simple majority would be better in the context of the fact that we have we are only one of the empowered community decision makers, and we had everybody believing that supermajority was certainly enough. Okay, you're right. We only have another 35 minutes, so let's try to move on. Let me try this then. Let me try this. Who would indicate that they think that a simple majority of each house, this was the Ed Morris proposal, that a simple majority of each house is sufficient for the decisions of the empowered community? So we're looking for yes, no checks. Simple majority, and then I'll do the same thing for supermajority. Okay, so on simple majority, one, two, three, four, five, and staff will record the names, please. I'm sorry. David Maher just went with a no. So, okay, so we have five yes and one no on simple majority. And now supermajority clearly agrees, and who would say that supermajority? – shouldn't be the same hands. So for supermajority, we have two yeses, the contract parties. Okay. All right, so, and I'm assuming that Steve Metalis and Wolf Ulrich, that you would both be abstaining for the same reason you gave earlier. Do I have that right? Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. Amr, you said you're split between two options. Does that mean you want to consider another one in between, or you just can't make up your mind? Amr? Oh, we dropped off the call. So, Amr, I just, when you said that you're split between the options, I just need to understand whether you want to propose an alternative or just record that you're undecided.
And maybe I can't hear me. Can you hear me?
Okay, go ahead.
Whoa, okay. I'm sorry. Let me, actually, I'm getting a dial back into the call. So, if you can give me just a couple of seconds. Slumber again. Can you hear me?
We do, and we're simply asking you, when you say you are split, are you going to propose an in-between voting threshold or simply record the fact that you can't make up your mind between the two?
Well, to be honest, I was initially in favor of a high voting threshold, such as a supermajority, for the reasons I explained earlier. But I can see how it would be difficult for the GNSO to exercise of power in that sense, and I'm leaning more towards a lower threshold now, such as a simple majority of each house. I wouldn't really, I don't think having a middle proposal such as 60%, which is what the council uses to elect a chair, 60% of each house, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think it's a very practical threshold. I think generally, you need to achieve the same level of agreement to do that as to achieve a supermajority threshold, just considering how the votes are distributed amongst different stakeholder groups and constituencies. So generally, I think now if I had to choose one choice, I would go with a simple majority of each house. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. That's how we recorded your green check mark earlier, but I appreciate the explanation. So there were five who supported a simple majority, and there were two who went with supermajority. So we only have nine people on this team, and we had two of the nine who abstained for reasons given earlier. So we've got we'll record all that, but it's hard for me to say that five out of nine is a consensus. It's a majority, barely, but it's not a consensus. And I don't think our report can reflect that there's a strongly felt recommendation with respect to a simple majority of each house. But I think our data has been captured at this point. And now let's turn to the nominations column. The nominations, the who's going to represent us, is different than decisions of what does the GNSO want to do. So the who's going to represent us is the decisions that council has made many times, and they don't regard policy matters. We will appoint people to cross-community working groups, to review teams. We'll make decisions on nominating people like the Empowered Community. I think we've already made a decision on nominating a liaison to the Customer Standing Committee, if you recall. And since that fell to the default rule of council used a majority of each house to approve our representative to the liaison to the Customer Standing Committee. Council today, I think, is going to be discussing representation on the Empowered Community, and they've asked me to attend the call just to report on where we are. So I can certainly report on where we've come with all of this so far, but we definitely had three different levels of interest on the nominations column on our last call. Now, Marika has put into the chat that if we had more time, we would also want to propose, because the motion we were given we were asked to maybe come up with the process by which nominations are offered, not just how a nominee is approved. And so we're not going to get to that in the next 28 minutes on this call. So it's noted, Marika, and it might be something that we would claim we need more time to look at. So for now, what I'm hoping to suggest is that if we had a couple of nominees for the IANA function review team, what would be the way that council will decide when they vote on nominee A, what threshold is necessary? When they vote on nominee B, what threshold is necessary? There may be situations where only a single nominee is put forward, and council has to approve that single nominee by a stated threshold. On our last call, I heard most of you say that a simple majority of each house was appropriate. Steve Metallitz, I remember you suggesting that when it comes to that rep to the empowered community, which is really a conduit, right, not supposed to be a decision maker, but that rep to the empowered community should be a higher threshold than a majority of each house. Ed Morris, on the last call, you instituted a new threshold called a 60% majority of each house. And I say new because I'm not aware of us using that in council now, and I don't know how the numbers work out for 60%. And then, Amr, I remember you mentioning that you thought a nomination would require a GNSO super majority as it's defined in the bylaws. So we have a disparate set of opinions, and Amr's clarifying in the chat that the 60% of each house is what council has been using to select its chair. And let me ask, is that in the bylaws or just in the GNSO procedures? If you can get an answer to that into the chat as well. All right, so let's take a cue on the disparate levels of support necessary, thresholds, to approve a nominee. We don't have to go with the chair election or vice chair, and it might actually be simpler to do something like a simple majority of each house, which I thought most of this team thought was appropriate. I'll wait another few seconds for a cue. Ed Morris, please.
Steve, well, I prefer 60% as being a higher level of agreement. I'm fine with simple majority. If that's where others want to go. Not a big difference. It's just what I don't want a supermajority because we don't want to have a repeat of, say, the council chair election that we just went through. We want to have a majority that's attainable. And whether that's 50 or 60%, you know, there's not much difference there. So I'm happy to go with simple majority if that's where others would like to go.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate that. Wolf Ulrich?
thanks, Steve. Well, I have one question at first because I didn't follow the discussion in the former meeting. So it is said here it's about nominations for the rep on EC and on CSC and all the other teams. So this is we put all this together in one package. So don't we make these distinctions between, let me say, a nomination for the EC and then the other or review teams? That's one question. So that there may be a difference from my point of view in with regard to the importance of such a decision. So that is one question. The other thing is coming back to how the council was working in appointing or nominating review teams in the past. So that was done in a process through the stakeholder groups and the constituencies, and they came up with, proposals or nominations, and the council then decided upon, had a discussion upon that. I think it was then done in a majority way with regards to review teams. So that's what I have in mind. So my question was the first. Thank you.
Wolf Ulrich, thank you. Steve Metallitz noted earlier, and I had it in the document, that he suggested the threshold be higher for the empowered community representative. Okay. And if you and Steve, I realize you may abstain on the voting threshold discussion, but I would love to have the document reflect what you thought the higher threshold should be. For instance, if one were simple majority, does the EC rep step up to, say, supermajority? But I realize that because if you're abstaining for other reasons, you may not be able to indicate that. But anything you guys can tell us, I would appreciate it. I want to clarify something for everyone, is that we could say that this review team, five of the seven voting members, two abstentions, decided that a simple majority of each house was appropriate for nominations and noted that, given more time, we might separate some nominations and have a higher threshold for them. We also, if given more time, might try to respond to the challenge of coming up with a process for slates of nominations. So since there's no hands up, let me clarify what I'm talking about. The bylaws now include the affirmation of commitment to reviews. We brought them over because of stress test 14. And when we brought them over, we allowed each of the ACs and SOs to nominate seven candidates to a review team. And then the chairs of the ACs and SOs, not the empowered community, because, again, these reviews don't have anything to do with the empowered community. The chairs of the ACs and SOs would pick up to three from each AC and SO for a total of 21 members. And the bylaws reflect that if say, SAC only put two names up, that is another slot that the chairs of the ACs and SOs could award to one of the other groups who had more than three. So for the purpose of the GNSO's role, it would be asked, hey, GNSO, can you give us up to seven names for the Security, Stability, and Resiliency Review Team? And then GNSO would find a way to see if it had a call for volunteers. If it had a list of more than seven, then council would have to meet some threshold to decide on who to include. So a slate would go forward, and it would either be approved or not. And that's the threshold we're speaking of here. That's why the review teams make their way into here, because the new bylaws say that what used to be in the affirmation of commitments reviews, subject to the chair of ICANN and the chair of the GAC, are no longer made there. Instead, we, the community, make the decisions on who's on these review teams. All right, so I think that we do need to move to a decision here to see. We'll do the same thing in this column that we did for the decision column. I'll first ask who would support that a simple majority of each house is appropriate for nominating, for approving nominations. So I'll look for a yes or no on simple majority. And if I don't see a vote from Steve and Wolf Ulrich, we'll know why they're abstaining. Farzi, your hand is up. Would you like to make a comment right now?
Yeah, and I'm sorry I didn't take the mic before, but these nominations are for different roles, if I'm not mistaken. So there's the EC rep, and then there's the CSC and the INM functions. I mean, they are different, and their importance is so different that I don't really think we can go with just one overarching voting threshold, to be honest. So that's what I'm thinking.
Thank you, Farzi. We had specific points from Steve Metallic and Wolf Ulrich suggesting that the EC rep needs a higher threshold. I think that what you suggested is you're not prepared to even approve simple majority as a base because you'd like to look at them all in detail. I think we agreed that whatever we come up with, let's just suggest that, let's say we got five yeses for simple majority. We are going to note in our report that just like for decisions, we'd like to map this to each of the nominations. And given more time, we might well have a slightly higher or somewhat higher threshold for some decisions, some nominations. So given that, we have some room to revisit that, assuming the council will give us more time. So I only see four yeses for simple majority on nominations. Give you another couple seconds. Are there any other votes on simple majority? Steve Metallic, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I think, just if I'm reading this right in the chat, I think you have at least as many people on this group who do not think that we can come up with one standard for all nominations as you have voting for the standard. So I just pointed that out. I think there are four people who've now made that point: me, Wolf Ulrich, Farsi, and Matthew.
Got it. And that would leave us undecided on nominations.
And
Steve, I wonder if we were to pull the EC rep out, and we only have 18 minutes, and I don't want to drag it on too much longer, but if we pulled the EC rep out and made the decision for EC rep and all other, I wonder if we could get something closer to a better vote. Would you be able to comment on that? Go ahead.
Yes, I can comment on it, and that is that I use that as an example. I don't know. There may be others. So if I were voting on this, that would not change my vote.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Steve. So I would say that the report's going to reflect that when the drafting team was asked, would you support at least a simple majority for nominations with an intent to consider a higher threshold for certain types of nominations, we could only get four yeses for that. If I asked the same question on a GNSO supermajority or the 60%, I'd be interested to see if, let's go to supermajority. Why don't we clear the agrees for a moment, just so I understand where people are coming from. Clear the agree, thank you everyone. If I said supermajority to approve a nomination, GNSO supermajority, how many would say that's necessary? That is in the column, Farsi. It's the GNSO supermajority. It's the bottom row. All right, we don't have anybody supporting supermajority. I can scratch that one. Ed deferred the 60% into the simple. And so let me ask staff, did we cover the four who said yes to simple? Darcy, David, Ed, and myself. Thank you very much. So we only had four, and so we're not going to be able to report that we even have a recommendation. I'll record that the reason for that was that we want the time to consider each type of nomination individually, and that extra time would give us the opportunity perhaps to come up with a process for nominations as well. Darcy, David, Ed, and Steve D. Okay, thank you everyone. So I think I know enough to describe where we stand on September the 29th. And it would be hard to call this a recommendation that everybody approved, because until you see the whole document, none of you should be asked to say, we're ready to vote on a document. Clearly, we have edits in the previous pages of the document, and we're going to have to give you all an opportunity with your respective groups to approve the language of how we phrase the recommendation. What I could promise you is that I can turn around probably later today this update to page 7 and give each of you an opportunity to comment on it on page 7. Okay, so that's a way forward with respect to page 7. In the 15 minutes that are left, I wanted to open the queue for a discussion of any of the edits in pages 1 through 6, and then we'll discuss how to represent some of the views that Steve Metallis added at the end, whether those are part of the report or a minority report. But first, please, something that should be relatively easy. Are there any comments or further edits to the first 6 pages of this document? You'll see as you scroll up and down that I accepted all of what I thought were grammatical changes. And I believe Amr has a point on page 4 that the bylaws talking about GGP. I'd like to discuss whether GGP should be in there. I believe we should. It was raised by staff on 2 different calls, and we're going to dismiss it. So we're dismissing it. I feel like it's better to document the fact that we discussed and dismissed it than to pretend we didn't know it existed. Steve Metallis, you're in the queue.
Yes, my only point I want to raise is that I on page 3, I inserted, you know, we had this discussion of who should make the decision, and that's and six people wanted the council, and 3 did not. And So then two, how should the council or stakeholder groups and constituencies arrive at that decision? So I inserted A as, okay, if a council's going to do it, here are the options, you know, weighted voting, and then on and going on and on until page 7. What I did on page 8 was just put, you know, that's A. A is if the council's going to do it. B is if the stakeholder groups and constituencies are going to do it. So I don't see if you accept my inserting subheading A, then I think subheading B probably needs to be part of the report also, because it's the other alternative. So that's my only comment on this.
And hey, thank you, Steve.
On page 8. Thank you.
No, you're excellent, excellent point. And when I put the document together, on page 3 where we reflected the fact that we were 6-3 to keep it in council, 6-3 to keep it in council, that is to say, council should speak for the GNSO. That assumed that section 2 on how was only referencing council. So it was picking up and building on that decision and not preserving necessarily what would do if it were not in council. So at least the way this is constructed, given that a minority believe it should not be council, I believe that argues for allowing you to draft an expansive minority report about direct action by GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies. And that could be prepared by the minority who believe that that ought to be the way it does. That's really different than having it exist in this report and be subject to the approval of the same 9 people, 6 of whom may not support even having it in this document. So if you were to proceed on an A-B format, there's a chance we don't get approval of the document, and I'm suggesting that you have far more control over making the case in a minority report than as part of this report. I wanted to give you a chance to react to that, Steve.
Okay. I hear you. There's not going to be an expansive minority report. This thing is due in a matter of a couple of days. But if you're going to take that approach, then I think you have to change the sentence that's in, you know, 2. It starts with how on page 3, because it says how should GNSO Council or stakeholder groups and constituencies arrive at their decision. So take out the reference to stakeholder groups and constituencies, I guess. If the majority of this group doesn't even want to talk about that, then I accept the will of the majority on that.
Yeah, excellent point, Steve. But let's not dismiss it out of hand. I'd love to hear if there are any other edits to pages 1-6, and then we'll revisit the question Steve is raising. Any other edits to pages 1-6? Thank you. So let's revisit Steve's very point in that the text at the end of the report, it's below page 7, and you can all scroll to page 8. Thank you. So what Steve is proposing is, let's see, can this group have majority support for describing how, other than council, how the actual stakeholder groups and constituencies could exercise their powers instead of council? And if we thought we could come to agreement to support some pros like Steve has proposed, fine. And if we can't, it probably gets shifted to a minority report that would be submitted along with our recommendations. So let's take a cue on that. David Maher?
No, this is David Maher. Thank you. I think it belongs in a minority report. I think the final conclusion that Steve Metellus reaches is out of scope for this group. It's trying to tell the council how it should deliberate about our report, and I think that is definitely not within our powers or responsibilities. Thank you.
So, David Maher, you're referencing this notion that the underlying stakeholder groups and constituencies that you and I and everyone on this call represents should be given an opportunity to review. You don't argue with that as a premise. You don't like the scope issue of putting in a report. Do I have that right?
No, I argue with that as a premise. I think the council should be allowed to deliberate in its own way.
Okay. Interesting. So you would that gets to the scope question, that this report should be forwarded by council to the underlying stakeholder groups. We should be confident that each of the stakeholder groups will get a copy, but you're suggesting it's not about transparency, it's about who should decide, that the councilors have rules to represent the views of their constituencies, and you don't want to tell them how to do that. But David, while you have the cue, what about the more fundamental question about including this? If it were not council, here's how we think it could work. And that's really the part B and most of what's in C in Steve Metallica's draft. And I sort of need your view as to whether that can be part of our report or should it be a minority report?
I strongly feel that it should be a minority report.
Okay, let's move on in the queue. Steve Metallica and then Amr.
Yeah, it was just, I thought if I understood David correctly that he was basically responding to this, what's in C rather than
right.
What's in B. But, you know, that's obviously his call. But that's sort of what I heard, because that's where it gets into how the council should deal with this, or a recommendation about how the council should deal with this. I do think we're going to need some kind of section, and I think Steve Del Bianco, it will, you know, as you mentioned in some of our discussions about the things that we still need more time to work on, I assume we will need something at the end of this report that kind of runs through that. So maybe we should see what you have before deciding whether this is part of the majority. I just think that what David said was not responsive really to what's in B. It was responsive to what's in C. Thank you.
You're right, Steve. And in the earlier pages, when I described how we moved from the who to the how, I did my best to explain how this group discussed having GNSO constituencies and stakeholder groups instead of council, and that we came up with a 6-3 threshold decision to move on with council. And some of what you've written here on page 8 is further color to that, right? And some of it might be saying that if we went with a non-council decision, how would they make that decision? But, I mean, you've got a little bit of both in what you've got in B and C. Amr. Can't hear you, Amr.
Yeah, sorry about that, Steve. This is Amr. Just took me a minute to get off mute. Well, personally, I tend to believe that all viewpoints should be shared within any report coming out of any GNSO working group. So if there are conflicting opinions on any issues, then they should be clearly stated in the report. So sometimes those take the shape of this. Sometimes those are included in a minority report that is attached to a working group's report. I've been on a few PDPs where multiple opinions on each topic were presented as part of the report. And Steve Metallitz will recall, for example, Thick Who Is, when there were several subgroups working on issues, arguments for and against Thick Who Is in those different scenarios were included in the report as opposed to having a minority report. I'm generally in principle agreeable to the idea of having this. I think some of the problems that at least I have with some of the language is that it seems to be a bit hostile towards the idea of council doing some of the business, and then maybe we should comb through the language itself in more detail to sort of try to figure that out. But like I said, I don't think it's harmful to have multiple viewpoints in the report. The report is only meant to reflect what the drafting team members have discussed, and we haven't agreed on everything, and it's okay for the report to indicate this. As far as the recommendation on the last page that Steve has sort of come up with as a result of
of the other text he put in. To me, this recommendation, I think, could be reworded. If not, it may have to ultimately be in a minority statement. But to me also, this will depend on how we can tie this to another recommendation that I suggested. And it's still not in the report anywhere. And I was wondering, and Steve Dolbianco, you didn't mention it right now either. So I'm not sure if there's an intent to include this or not. If not, then I would personally file a minority statement of my own. But unless this drafting team is allowed to continue its work, then I believe another group does have to pick the work up. And like I said, there have been a lot of points raised on this drafting team, things that we haven't had the time to consider thoroughly that we really should. I say this because I've spent years on the Standing Committee of Improvements that has made changes to the operating procedures. And I've been on this committee for years up until it was disbanded last month, or earlier this month, actually. And we've always had a standing practice of you know, working through everything and combing through all the details, and that's why the SCI has always managed to achieve unanimity in its recommendations. And the recommendation for the council to distribute this report to the different stakeholder groups and constituencies, well, I mean, it makes sense to me. I mean, normally any working group reports before going to council with the recommendations has to go through a period of public comments. In this case, it won't. I don't see the harm in the council distributing the report to different stakeholder groups and constituencies. But again, I believe this does need to be presented in a more neutral fashion and not one that seemingly, to me at least, appears a bit hostile towards the option of council doing what we're recommending it does. Thank you.
All right. We are out of time on this call. And I think that I would record that BC would believe that this could be included in the report as part of the rationale for a non-council decision. And I believe the who should decide can be, perhaps the language can be neutralized a bit so it doesn't seem so hostile. But I didn't actually take it as hostile. I thought it was rather a matter of fact, indicating that council chartered us. Council has to approve with a majority of each house what we come up with. And Steve Metallis, I think, noted that it's sort of inherent in that structure that council is not likely to approve of a set of proposals that says the council doesn't get to decide. So I think it's a matter of fact, but I would like to see whether we could include it. So that would indicate that in your case, it could be a minority report or could be in, but it depends on what the text is like. Steve Metallis and the BC have said, yes, it could be in the report. I haven't heard from Wolf Ulrich. I've written down that Darcy and Ed thought, no, it should be a minority report. Same thing with David Maher. And I haven't heard from Matthew Shears. Oh, Matthew Shears is saying that B and C would go to minority report. And then Wolf Ulrich, I haven't heard you yet. I don't know if we still have him. Go ahead, Wolf Ulrich.
Thanks. Well, I was just trying to write, but it's easier right now. Well, I would support, well, to have it in a report. So because it's we have at least then one stakeholder group would say, you know, the commercial stakeholder group as a whole is, as I understand, is for that. Well, and this should be reflected in the report as well. Thanks.
Okay. All right, we're out of time. And so there were three firm yeses to keep it in the report. Armor was, it depends on the text. And there were four firm no's. So I may try to see if this text could become part of the report in terms of telling the story about how we got here. Clearly that's going to have to achieve majority support of all of you, or we're not going to have a report to issue. If that were not supported, it would end up falling to a minority report. So I guess with your indulgence, I'd like to try to pull some of B and C from Steve, maybe to to see if I can capture the spirit of what's there as part of the debate, because in some respects, Steve is explaining why he preferred and others preferred a non-council solution. And if we can phrase that in a neutral way, perhaps we can get majority support from this drafting team. Okay, I think we're out of time. Ed Morris, your hand is up. Okay, Amr, you're asking, what do we do to hand off another group? And it's not our call. We're going to tell council, and I have the opportunity to speak to council in a few hours, and I'm just going to relay exactly where we got to, and that we would request an extra 2 weeks with an opportunity to deep dive into the kinds of decisions and kinds of nominations to come up with a decisional rule. I don't think those 2 weeks would shift this group into a non-council voting decision. It's not my sense that would go there. What it would do is it would add specificity for the kinds of nominations and what threshold's appropriate and the kind of decisions and what threshold's appropriate. And as a bonus, we might well have majority support for language that reflects some of the concerns that Steve had put into B and C on page 8. And Amr, we are done or we're not done, and that's really a function of council. The resolution that created us said that they wanted our report tomorrow, and we aren't going to have as much done as we wanted. Let me thank everybody. Amr, go ahead.
Thanks, Steve. This is Amr again. I was asking because in the event that this drafting team cannot continue its work, which is perfectly within our right to recommend to the council, or at least identify issues that we have not resolved and recommend that another group pick it up, and the council would have to consider this recommendation in its motion to adopt the recommendations coming out of the drafting team. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. I'll look to your help and others of you that are on council to do that if, in fact, we have to put something into the queue for October 3rd for a council motion. It may just be that our report goes to council at the end of their October meeting as opposed to a motion for that meeting. So council meets later tonight. I'll be on that call, invite you all to be on the call, and if I was invited to explain where we are, and I'll do my best to do that, but all of you should chime in if you think I haven't got it right. Mary Wong, you said an estimate when you may complete all the tasks. Look, the only two tasks we said we're going to work on was to apply, to deep dive under the decisions and nominations to see if the thresholds need to be adjusted. And those tasks we think are 2 weeks. I believe that's what we're going to say. Okay. All right, I'm out of time, and I appreciate everybody's indulgence. Staff, if you could please turn around the chat notes right away. I'll use them at coming up with the next draft in the report. Thank you, everyone. I hope it's not our last call, but I have a feeling we'll have a couple of more. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines, and so the operator, if you could please stop all recordings.